The second scripture reading is a translation of Galatians 4, verse 19. And this translation is from the Common English Bible. My little children, I'm going through labor pains again until Christ is formed in you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Pray with me. So in our words, in our thoughts and hearts and minds this day, send your Holy Spirit to stir within us, that we might be new creatures, formed in Christ Jesus our Lord and established in the work of your faith. And we pray it all through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Do you know the difference between a woman who's given birth and someone that's read about it? You might be able to appreciate the pain and trial. That's why Paul used the metaphor here. He's been struggling with the Galatian church. Just back in chapter 3, he pleaded with them by a kind compliment. Oh, you foolish Gentiles! It's a call that you and I might have heard from someone near and dear to us. A call that somehow we are abandoning a nature of faith because we do not understand the birth pains. The labor of love that was established first and foremost by Paul to the Galatian church, because he set aside his role as a Pharisee and as a Jew to take on the nature of being a Gentile, someone who had been told through the centuries that you're outside. And now he knows he's been adopted, claimed by Jesus Christ, by the labor of the gift of the cross and the suffering that Christ has done for us. We are then made new. And for Paul, the petition and prayer is that Christ is formed in us. Now, Elizabeth and I attended birth classes before our first child was born. We learned the systems of breathing that could ease the pain and make the transitions smooth and acceptable. We started into those with great luster and joy, thinking we somehow could control that moment. It's finally someplace in the midst of that experience, as the pains continued to transition and the struggle and length of time continued to endure, Elizabeth finally broke and said, I'm done with breathing, just give me drugs. Actually, there was another phrase she used just before that invitation for medicine. I'll share it with you, but you got to keep it just between you and me. She's teaching down in the preschool. She'll never know I told it. She looked at me and said, shoot me like an old dying dog. I thought about it for a while. Sometimes the pain gets so incredible. Here Paul is saying the pain he's enduring for these Gentiles, for those that he has given the nature of grace, and yet they're running from it. They're going back to their old behaviors. They're going back to the old ways of circumcision, of believing that somehow we can entice God to do enough for us to make us a part of his kingdom. That we forget somehow that it's God's grace and it's Christ that's formed in us, not our plans, not our agenda, not our systems of control and understanding. The psalmist in the 115th Psalm prays it this way. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. There is this invitation that Christ be formed in us, not out of our own understandings or our own insights, not out of our own conditions and directions. It is as if we are giving birth to God through the nature of grace, a grace that abundantly was freely given by Christ on the cross, something that we can't do for ourselves, something that we can't do for God. And yet the Galatians, as well as the church today, still finds itself in these moments out of which we're almost like a narcissistic community. We somehow think we can tell God what to do and how to be and how to behave. You know a narcissist. That's a psychological term for an individual that is in such complete control that they demand everything at their own agenda and on their own terms. It would be as if you and I would somehow be looking to God saying, we understand the world better than you do. Let us put our rules and directions, our insights and our guidelines into place. Such a foolish nature that Paul knows that it must be Christ who is formed in us. And how will this forming of Christ take place? That verse in 19 that Shelley read for us this morning, it's a translation that for even within the New Revised Standard Version, it sounds almost identical. My little children for whom I again in the pain of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. And the New International Version just simply refers to it as my little dearest ones. It's a call out of which you and I would understand that in this intimate relationship, Christ's prayer is that he would be formed in us, not we who form Christ in us. It's not an intellectual exercise out of which to memorize rule and covenant and relationship. It's out of a spiritual transformation that Christ be formed in us, that we die to our old self, that we understand the price he paid for us, that we accept that work of grace, and we accept that forgiveness for ourselves, and we offer it to others. And we then establish that work of God's grace, as Paul here says, grace that forms. This grace that forms is the same grace that sought us before we knew God. It's the same grace that justifies us. It's the same grace that sustains us every day when we wake up to set a new agenda and a new purpose. Verse 6 says, the way that Christ is formed in us comes through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living Christ can be poured into us afresh today. It's like the words of the writer John who said, the old has passed away, behold, a new has come. It isn't a substitution in part, it's a complete replacement. It is raising from the dead. It's a justification that you and I cannot do that for ourselves. It is God alone who wipes away the tears from our eyes, that establishes us in new life, that gives for us living water, a water that is paid without price. Did you ever think you'd live in a day when a bottle of water would cost you a dollar? Or worse yet, go to the ballpark or go to the theater and it can cost you up to $5. Same bottle, same water that we get out of a tap. And yet here God's trying to say, I'm giving it to you without price. It's that nature out of which Jesus would quote time and again the Old Testament prophets There are so many that want to say, back in the Old Testament, there is not a God of grace. And yet it is Jesus who quotes Isaiah and the prophets time and again about this water without price. This one who would redeem us, would cause the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk and the good news to be proclaimed to those who are captive in freedom. It would be in Christ alone and nothing else. This battle and gift of the power of redemptive love that forms in us comes when you and I no longer set our own agenda, but we seek Christ's. Not just for ourselves, but for every person. And we extend then that work of the Spirit that causes us to understand new life, that causes us to understand the gifts that God gives us to share. Not talents and abilities of our own, but talents that we might offer to others, that redemptive relationship with Christ. That's when Christ is formed in us. That's when we're transformed by His power. In Ephesians chapter 3, 17, the writer says that Christ may make in us His home in our hearts through faith. This is where Paul would say to the Galatian church and to us, it is in that faith, not a knowledge, not an understanding, in a faith of an unseen, of a hope that is yet to be realized, in a promise that can only be fulfilled by the power and strength of God alone. You and I are called into that depth of relationship that we might turn our hearts toward Christ and we might say in boldness, I am not my own. I was bought by the price of the cross. The forgiveness I have was not something I could earn or merit. It is given because of the sacrificial love Jesus suffered on the cross for all. And that Christ is being formed within us. You know that very familiar song where God is the potter and we are the clay. I too often want to talk to God and say, God, make me into a vase. Not a vase. A vase. You know, that expensive work of art, that thing that is crafted in such a way, and somehow, in some way, I continue to lift that as a petition to God, thinking that that is the only way I want to serve. And yet all too often I find myself as that clay being shaped into a bowl where water is simply poured into. And then I see my master picking up that bowl and walking to the feet of other disciples and washing their feet. It's not a glamorous job. It's not a stoic, it's not a beautiful purpose. It is the redemptive washing of life away and the pain that is all too often inflicted even by the kindest of Christians. Christ would wash each of His disciples' feet, and then He would set that bowl aside and say to us, "Do you not know what I've done for you? You'll do likewise." You'll offer that redemptive love. You'll see me formed in you, not because you're able to forgive someone else of the wrong they've done to you, not that you'll overlook it or you'll settle the score, but that Christ has settled the score. Christ has paid the price, and that you and I extend forgiveness then out of His love, not our own best efforts. It is Christ who is formed in us. When we let the Spirit loose, when we allow our prayers to be made manifest, and that we no longer set the stage for the one who is the potter, but understand we're but the clay. God will mold us and shape us. God will use us as the Spirit desires to bring about His redemptive work, not ours. And express to us what it means for Christ to live in me. The phrase we've exchanged through these past weeks speaks great truth. Christ in me greets the Christ in you. Are you letting Christ be formed in you, or are you building it for a purpose? I knew a very dear friend who was a master carpenter, had built homes for over 50 years. It seemed as if he would, without hesitation, form the foundation. He'd set the walls, he'd put the trusses, he'd put it in order, and as if he was not even looking at a plan or knowing a design. In conversation with him, I discovered two key elements that were at work in his art and craft. He said, "It's not my ability and skill as a builder and a carpenter. It's because of a square and a level." The square is what keeps things in order and aright. The level sets it so that it is not in tension against another. Unless a home is shaped out of the squareness of the cross of Christ and the completeness He paid for us, unless it's not leveled, not out of our strength and ability, but by the redemptive work of Jesus, then the home and the spiritual place that we build will be out of line and out of shape. You and I are invited to be at the potter's hand. We're invited to be a spiritual dwelling, not a group of judgmental, narrow-minded thinkers of only our own thought. But the wisdom that has come from the Holy Spirit, the central gifts, the 7 or 12 that are mentioned in Scripture of the Holy Spirit, the first is this: wisdom, love. It is the wisdom of God's love who seeks each one to level and square us into a spiritual dwelling, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen.